Now let us move into the 18th chapter of Joshua. And we find that this first verse of the 18th chapter has to do with the moving of the tabernacle to Shiloh. So right here in the midst of the story of the dividing of the lands among the tribes comes this account of the setting up of the tabernacle. And up to this time, the tabernacle had continued in the old place in the center of their camp there at Gilgal. In Numbers, the second chapter, we have the story of how this ark had been protected by the four squadrons of tribes. Each squadron composed of three tribes, and each squadron had a leader, and they were posted on each side of the tabernacle to protect it. One tribe was led by Judah, one by Ephraim, one by Reuben, and one by Dan. Well, at this point, we see where those squadrons that are led by Judah, Ephraim, and Reuben have been broken and diminished by the fact that some of those tribes have already been settled. Only the squadron of Dan remains entire. So now it seems to be time to think of removing the tabernacle itself into a city, into a more permanent dwelling, since shortly all the tribes were going to be settled and scattered, and there'd be no more squadrons to protect it. Up until this time, the tabernacle had certainly not been a permanent dwelling. Many a time the priests and the Levites had taken it down, carried it, and set it up again in the wilderness, according to the directions given them in Numbers, the fourth chapter, and so forth. Now they must move it one more time. This time was going to be a time in which they must do it for good and for all. And not one of the stakes thereof must any more be removed, nor any of the cords thereof be broken, as you read in Isaiah 33, verse 20. Isaiah is talking of a time in which God is going to give peace and security to his people. And so he says, "Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken." So this is just simply speaking of a situation in which the tabernacle is no longer going to be removed and taken down and carried and then set back up again, but the people would have a permanent habitation. And certainly Shiloh was the first of those permanent habitations of God's people. Now let us notice this place to which the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant was to be brought. It was to be brought to Shiloh, a city that's located in the lot of Ephraim, but that's also very close to the lot of Benjamin. Doubtless, God himself did some way or other direct them to choose this place, for he'd spoken about this in Deuteronomy 12, verse 11, in which he said, "Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows, which you may vow unto the Lord." And he goes on and says in the 13th verse, "Take heed to thyself, that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there shalt thou offer thy burnt offerings, and there shalt thou do all that I command thee." So God had told them in Deuteronomy, before they ever came into Canaan, that he would choose a place to place his name, and that's where they would carry out the worship to God. So Shiloh is the place. And we can see some very obvious reasons for the reason why this place was chosen. One, because it was in the heart of the country, nearer the center even than Jerusalem was, and therefore it was more convenient for the meeting of all Israel that came from the various parts of the country. Since it was located in the midst of their camp in the wilderness, we see that it would also be located in the midst of the nation here in Canaan. Secondly, this city of Shiloh was in the lot of the tribe of which Joshua was. Joshua, as you know, who was now their chief magistrate, so it would be both to the honor of Joshua and as a convenience for the advantage of the country to have it near him, near the administrator. Just as we put a governor of a state in the state capital, Joshua then would have this center of their religion located in his tribe where he would be dwelling. Now, some also think that Shiloh was chosen, and the name given to this place with an eye to the name that Jacob used whenever he mentioned the Messiah in his prophecy in Genesis 49 and 10. There Jacob says concerning Judah, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." This word Shiloh there that Jacob uses in his prophecy is a word referring to the Messiah. And so here this word for this city, the name for this city, is also Shiloh, which could also be very symbolic then of the Messiah. Some think that the place where the tabernacle was set up was called Shiloh because of the peaceableness of the land at this time, as afterwards in Salem was his temple, which also signifies peaceable. So this city located in the lot of Ephraim was now in a territory that had already been well conquered, and it was a safe, secure, peaceable place, and it's the most logical place to have the tabernacle located. This city of Shiloh is about 9 miles north of Bethel, and it's located between Bethel and Shechem. So we see then that the tabernacle of God, at long last now, does have a permanent dwelling. It's a place that is centrally located in the nation. All the people will know where it is, how to get to it when the need arises. And then it's located also close to the dwelling of Joshua, who is the chief magistrate of the whole nation. It stayed in Shiloh some 300 years before it was removed and the city destroyed because of the sins of the people. Well, our time has run out at this point, so we will conclude there. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.